Hey guys, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless. I'm here reaching out to you today, and we're going to talk about getting a job, okay? That's what I want to mention today. So let me ask you something. Are you looking for a job, or have you looked for a job recently, or do you think you're going to have to look for a job soon? Well, I got to tell you, that's the number one thing people come to me. I have companies coming to me looking for workers, and I have workers coming to me looking for companies, and they want to get in touch with each other. And I know a big problem is location. You know, people want to get a job close to home, obviously, and companies have very specific needs. The other thing about companies is they're going to do a build-out, and they're going to have work for so long, and they're going to want to basically hire someone where the work is. And obviously, they don't want to pay for any more travel expenses than they have to. So what do you do? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk about how to find a job. Now, there's plenty of websites out there. Look on my blog. I got tons of them. Wireless Estimator. They have a cool app on there that shows you about the hiring, but they also have a help wanted section. Who's looking, companies, and things like that. So Wireless Estimator is a great resource. Links in my show notes or my blog for this blogcast. Okay, so there's plenty of websites out there to look for a job, like RCR Wireless. If you get their, I get RCR Wireless's emails, right? They send out their articles and updates and things like that. I subscribe, which you can too. You got to look at it though. So they team up with telecomcareers.net and towercruise.net, looking for, you know, anything in telecom. So you can look on, if you get their email, you see the highlighted jobs, but you can get on those websites. There's other websites too, like towerclimber.com, towerdog.com. I talk to those guys quite a bit. They're always looking for people. There's towerclimberjobs.com. They're looking for people. And, you know, you can just go out and you can Google tower jobs. So you should be able to find something, right? Well, let me tell you, another way to look, or when you apply with these companies, a lot of guys get on Facebook. And it's an easy route, right? Facebook has plenty of groups. They have plenty of tower climbing groups. They have tower job groups. You can get on there and look for any of the tower groups. I'm on several of those groups. When I post my blog, I get on there. You know, I post my blog on a lot of those groups. And thank you for reading my blog. And thank you if you download my podcast. But that's an easy way to go out too, because a lot of jobs you get are through word of mouth, through communication. You want to talk to people. I mean, that's a key thing. You know, you want to talk to people. You want to get out there. You want to make connections. Connections, baby. That's where it counts. You want to have connections with as many people as you can. So, I think a lot of tower companies, sometimes you're competitive or you don't talk, but let's face it, a climber is a climber. Most of you guys have stories to share. So when we go out in the tower site, the only frustrating thing, if someone beats us to the tower site, and usually whoever's there first wins, they get to do the job and you got to wait. And that's happened to me, you know, two or three crews show up the same tower in the same day for different jobs. And normally it's not recommended to have more than one crew in the tower. So a lot of times whoever there's first, unless it's public safety, then you go by ranking department. Like if you're there for the Department of the Highway and the cops are putting something in, police usually rank higher. They just do. Whoever owns a tower, that could matter. You know, if you're on a state tower and you're putting something in for county and the state's doing something, you're going to wait if you're doing work for the county. So I'm sorry, off on a tangent. Let's come back. I have another blog post that I talk about LinkedIn. And the reason I talk about LinkedIn is because that's a great place to put all your information in. You can put the link on your resume, and you can print your resume out from there. It's just a great resource. So I think if you can, get on LinkedIn.com and build up your profile. Look at other people's profiles. I got plenty of friends on there. Just start out with something simple. Put your profile on there. It's very important if you have your certs or training or anything you have, put that on there. Put projects on there. I put several I worked on. Takes a lot of time, guys. When you first do it, just put the basics on there. And then maybe over time, you know, expand a little bit. It's just tedious to put everything in there. However, when you're done, you have a resume. Because I am going to link to the blog to my old post. in this post. So you can go back and look at how to build a resume off that and how to print it out into PDF format. Or what you can do, if you have Word or Google Docs, you can basically build up your resume that way. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And a lot of people, they do want some type of resume you can upload. And the bad thing about PDF is you can't always upload that to someone's service. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. So if you build the PDF, just cut and paste it into some type of document where you can upload it, whether it's Google's Doc. I know Word you got to pay for a lot of times, so I think Google Docs, a lot of those are free, or a Notepad or something like that, and I'd be willing to bet all of you have a laptop. So just do the best you can with what you have, okay? So, resume, have a good updated resume. I would come up with a generic cover letter, depends on the job you're going for, depends on how big the tower crew is, whether they want it or not. Make sure your cover letter, just talk a little bit about yourself, what you want to do, what your goals are. But on your resume, have your certifications listed. I used to bury them in there, but now I'm told that a lot of computers scan this stuff, so they want to see the certs broken out. So make sure your certifications are broken out. Be very clear about what your training is. And if possible, put down what year you had your training. Like I haven't gone through climbing training since, I don't know when, 08? It's been a long time, I don't actively climb anymore. And even my OSHA training, I can't remember the last time I had OSHA training, but try to be very clear with that when you had it, especially if it's recent. Like if you just had training, put it on there. If you just had your OSHA 10-hour, put it on there. Your OSHA 30-hour, put it on there. If you had higher OSHA, because I think, don't they have 100 hours, something like that? They have something ridiculous. If you had that, man, brag about it, because those courses are tough. They're long, I mean, most of you guys that take them know everything about them. But put all your training on there. And I'm talking in the U.S., obviously. I have listeners in England, Australia, Germany, Europe and Australia and New Zealand. Any country you're in, you're going to want to just put your certs on there. If you don't like to brag, too bad. Make sure you put everything on there. You want to be very clear about what you're doing, what you've done, and what you're qualified to do. Now, with that said, if you get in an interview and some guy says, have you ever stacked a 1,000-foot tower? If you've never done it, then say no. If you have done it, tell them what kind. Be very clear if you remember. Be very clear about what you did or who you did it for. If it's a 1,000-foot tower, it's obviously broadcast. So you're going to go in and say, hey, I did this broadcast tower for whoever. I did this. I hung 6-foot dishes, 10-foot dishes. I did wireless broadband. They're very small. I did small cells. I did, part of the Sprint Network Vision build-out. I did part of the AT&T build-out. I did part of the Verizon Wireless build-out. Put any of that in there. And a lot of you guys that have been around a while, was it the old T-Mobile? The old T-Mobile UMTS build-outs. They were, from what I heard, I never did any, but from what I heard, they were a nightmare. So anyway, don't be afraid to brag about what you've done. You want to put it in your resume. You want to put your certs on your resume. You want to put your information on your resume. And it's not a bad idea to put projects on there at the end. People are going to scan your resume to check your experience. Now, if you're like me, I'm a little older, you're probably not going to, I'm not exactly going to go all the way back. I think I do have all my jobs on there, what I've done, because I've done government work in the past. So I put that on there. But guys, if you've been in the industry for 30, 40 years, the last 20 years may be relevant. If you've been with the same company 20 years, it's really easy. So I think what you're going to want to do is just play it safe. Put on there the most recent jobs and build your resume from there. Put on your certs, your latest certs. Try to date your certs. I'm going to be honest with you, I was in paging years ago. Nobody cares, right? I still have a lot of the stuff on there, but I have to clean it off. Nobody cares about all those certifications. Did a lot of wireless broadband. Wireless broadband is one of those things that's very recent. The companies change a lot. Some of them are around. Some of them are iffy. You just don't know. It changes a lot. So try to be relevant. And if you're going for a job, make sure that you're ready. Let me rephrase that. Make sure you research what they do so you're ready for any questions they ask. For instance, let's say you're going with MasTec. MasTec's going to do, say, Sprint or Verizon Wireless build-outs. If you have a cellular background, that's what you want to talk about. You know, you want to be ready. You want to look like an idiot. They're going to ask you about your training. You want to be ready. I think MassTech has their own training. I don't know. Someone could let me know. Just, you know, give me a little feedback there. But what you want to do is just be very clear about what you can and can't do, and also take an interest in what they're doing. And maybe they're doing something you want to learn. It might be worth your while to pursue that or follow that or ask about it. And don't be afraid to ask questions at the interview. When you're in your interview, just ask about what they're working on, what they're doing, things like that. Ask them what their future projects are. Maybe they're going to do something you're not familiar with. I mean, if you get stuck on let's say if you're a wireless guy and you get stuck on broadcast, it's going to be one of those things where you may not know what you're doing. If you've done cellular and you got to do dish alignments, again, I'm not saying you couldn't figure it out. I'm not saying it's far off, but it's different, okay? Aligning a dish takes a lot of patience, unless you're really good and you can zip it right in. But it still takes a little bit of patience, hanging the dish, getting it on there. You know, I'm talking a 6 or an 8 foot dish. They have 4 foot dishes, 2 foot dishes. You know, all depends what you're working with. 6 gig, 11 gig, you know, they go all the way up. So, and I, getting off the subject, but my point is, just be honest with the guy you're interviewing with. Maybe it interests you, maybe it doesn't. I would ask about travel. How is your per diem going to be taken care of? How are the hotels paid for? And I'm not saying you have to do this in the first interview. Maybe that comes down later. The guy interviewing you may just, you know, want to know about your work experience. He may not want to spend 3 hours going over how the per diem's handled. But I would be clear about one thing. If you're going to be an employee, just make sure you know what you're paying, your benefits are. Make sure you know how per diem's handled, and make sure you know how travel's handled. The reason I say about travel, when I traveled, I would do up to 2 week trips. I didn't like going longer than 2 weeks. My kids were younger, you know, it was really hard. Usually it was a week, you know, Monday through Friday. Those were my normal trips. Some companies want to send you away for a month, 2 months, or 3 months. That's a big deal. That's a long time. You know, who's going to take care of your place? How are your bills getting paid? I know with everything online now, your bills will get paid that way, but that's my point. You have to know what you're in for. Like if a company hires you and you say you're going to travel for 2 months at a time and then you do it for 4 months, you know, things aren't going to work out. It's going to go bad. So just ask them to be clear. Make sure you understand the job. Make sure that you know what you're getting into. Because, to be quite frank, they're going to try to get the most they can for the least amount of money. They want quality workers, but they don't exactly want to break the bank to get you. It's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? That's the way the world is. I think, obviously, we're devalued in today's world. It's my opinion. But I also understand business. Business has to move forward, and everything's very expensive, and we're only a cog in the wheel. That's the reality of it. Even, you know, when you look at the site build, just to give you guys a big picture, the end-to-end picture, what we do is really hard, really dangerous, and it's only a few people do it, to be honest, when you look at the whole industry. And when you look at a wireless build end-to-end, you know, you start out with the concept, with the idea, with the FCC releasing frequencies and approvals and things like that, but then you move beyond that. So then you got to go to the sites. You got to have site acquisition. You got to have permitting. The counties get involved. You know, everything slows you down. Let me tell you, that's one of the things that's the most frustrating and slowest, because every county is different, or city or township or whatever. The feds are trying to change that now. Nate's played a big part in that, trying to get that to move along and put it in the federal government, because to get permitting for every little thing you do in a tower is just ridiculous. When you're building a tower, different story. When you're adding to a tower, come on. I mean, geez, you know they're just doing it to get more money for the county in most cases. And I know they'll say it's an eyesore and they don't want it there and all that, but let's face it, they want that money. But to go to a meeting for the approval process, in my opinion, because I've been to a lot of them years ago, it's just ridiculous. You go there, nobody knows what you're talking about. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent again. So you have SiteAct. You got to do the leasing. The leasing's really come a long way. It's very efficient now, especially because they all know each other, the carriers and the tower owners. And then you have to schedule the work, and there's the bidding process. You know, the carriers put it out to bid, and Let's say you have turf vendors, you know, they're trying to get the biggest bang for their buck with people they know and trust normally. So it's hard to get in. Once you're in, don't screw it up. So then obviously you have to order the equipment, get the material in. And with the carriers, a lot of the stuff's new. LTE, some of the stuff's out there. Some of the stuff's still being rolled out from the OEMs, the Ericssons, the Nokias, the Samsungs, and the Alcatel-Lucents. They're still rolling equipment out, especially for the new Sprint Spark system. So all that's happening just so you can build your stuff, you know, to get where the climber is. And that's who this is geared for, the climbers. So you get that far, then, you know, they got to turn it up, they got to commission it, they have to integrate it, and then they have to optimize it. And then they have a whole, you know, with the self-organizing networks, they call it SON, you know, they're going to try to improve the user experience the best they can. That's where small cells are going to come in for coverage, for download, try to make things the best they can. They're going to continuously do upgrades like VoLTE, which is voice over LTE. That's still ramping up. You know, there's always something going on. These carriers are always busy doing something. That's a big difference between today's wireless networks and, say, wireless networks 20 years ago. 20 years ago, a lot of wireless networks were built. They were stable for 5 years. They could do almost anything they wanted for 5 years before they had to upgrade. And I've seen it. You know, broadcast is a good example. Like, when they do broadcast, they would do little tweaks here and there. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Those guys have a tough job. A lot of them dealt with high voltage and heights, you know. So, but they could do tweaks and make a lot of changes. But for the most part, they were very stable in what they were doing, unless they were putting a new transmitter in or making a major change. Whereas with these carriers, it's almost every 6 months they have to put on new devices. They have to come up with a new service, a new feature. And now with small cells, they come up with these femtocells, which a lot of times go in businesses or homes. They have to come up with new devices. They have to constantly test that. They can't just throw it on their network, because if a cell site crashes, they're screwed. So they have all kinds of testing. You don't just throw it out there and hope it works. There's all kinds of testing that goes through before it is actually released to where the customer can use it or experience, or where they can release it. It's not quick, just so you guys know. I mean, you know, we rip on the carriers all the time for a lot of stuff, but they have a daunting task. They have a huge workforce to get these things out there. So anyway, I know I'm going off here on a lot of tangents, but I just wanted to write a blog to show you guys the websites that are out there, because that's one of the top things people come to me for. Companies and workers, they come to me, I'm looking for people, or hey, I need a job, or a lot of you guys are very specific about where you want a job. You know, someone wants to work in California, someone wants to work in North Carolina, someone wants to work in a specific city. It's tough, guys. I mean, I'll do the best I can. You got to look out there the best you can. Don't be afraid to use Facebook. Don't be afraid to use people you know. I mean, talk to people. I mean, I'll help you out any way I can. I post a lot of stuff on my Facebook page. I try to help you guys. I don't know if it's working. You know, I'm hoping for the best here. But there's a lot of companies looking. You know, you can always go right on the company website, such as Mastech, Bluestream, Big Wireless. I know they hired some guys. Supernova Telecom, they were looking for guys. Atlantic Tower Services, Goodman Networks, there's so many. Now, just because I bring up their name doesn't mean they're all the best to work for. I don't know. Haven't worked for most of those guys. So it pays to look for somebody who's worked there. That's where Facebook can come in handy. You have messaging on Facebook. Say, hey, you know, there's this company, they're hiring, they're interested in me. You worked for them, what'd you think of them? And with that said, it helps if you know the person, because you got to take it with a grain of salt. Some people, you know, they'll tell you they got screwed by a company, or there was a misunderstanding, or they weren't happy. But sometimes management changes too. You know, you got to think about that. If someone worked at a company 10 years ago, you would like to think it's not the same. So, you know, just interview them a little bit. Hey, you know, if they worked for a guy, you know, and they hated that guy that ran the crew, let's say a foreman, a project manager, the owner of the company, just say, well, are they still there? You know, or ask for a name and just see if they're still there. Reach out to people. If you interview with a company, and if they make you an offer, ask them if you can call the people that work there. When I worked at Qualcomm, that's what I did. I talked to people that already worked there, and they were very open, very honest. You know, I worked for different jobs I had. I would ask the employees, or I would ask whoever I interviewed with, well, can I talk to somebody? And yeah, they're usually pretty open with it. You know, it's somebody on the that you didn't interview with. You know, you hope they're being honest with you, but in most cases, people are going to be honest with you. They're going to tell you what they think when you're one-on-one with you on the phone. Now, if it's a conference call and you got two or three people in there, then they might be a bit guarded, and I can't blame them. You know, they don't want to say the wrong thing. So with all of that said, I went through a lot this time, and I talked fast, but I was trying to get the word out so you guys understand, and I'm really trying to help you guys be able to either advance your careers or be out of work for as little time as possible. The goal here is to keep you guys working and to keep you guys happy, because that's the point of this. We want to have plenty of work. We want to work safely. We want to be happy when we work. And I know what you're saying. It sounds silly, but let's face it. You want to enjoy your job. Most climbers take the job because they enjoy it. I don't get me wrong. I knew guys out there that said, oh, I'm only doing this for a year or two. That's fine. You know, but most guys that do it, they do it because they like it. You know, I'm reading a book now, which I have in a website. I'll have posted out there in my blog. Let me see the name of it. I'm sorry, I forget the name, guys. So I feel a little stupid. Oh, The Tower Builder by Vicky Kaysorg. And it's an interesting book. It's only 99 cents, guys. It's on Kindle. Okay, it's 99 cents. But the reason I got it, for one, it's called The Tower Builder. I mean, how can I turn that down? And for another, she tells a story about some of these old towers around and some of the people that worked on them. The reason it's interesting, because you'll see some parallels between what you guys do and what they do. Now, with that said, these guys are broadcast, so they don't travel like a lot of you guys do. So I'll have to write my own book for that. But it's just interesting to hear about the old towers. And I didn't read the whole thing. I think I'm on chapter 3 or 4. I just started it. But the reason I brought up, and I'll have a link on there, but the reason I brought up, because you can see what other people went through years ago. They actually, you know, the towers have been around a long time for different reasons. Broadcast in the old days, now it's for any type of communications. And the next thing, obviously, and you guys know this, is going to be small cell, which is going to be on poles. You know, bucket trucks and ladders are going to be the favorite to work on those. But it's still a mini cell site. But when you read that, you realize how many guys with climbing, it's a passion. They just enjoy it. They enjoy climbing. They enjoy being on the tower. They enjoy the nice weather. Hey, with that said, so did I. I loved it. I hated winters. Winters were brutal. I hated being up there in the wind. I hated being up there when it was icy or when you got caught in a storm, anything like that. Boy, did I hate the cold air, though. But, you know, it's part of the job. Some guys like that. Like, I worked with a guy that we had some work up in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I would do the summer work because I got lucky. But one guy got stuck with the winter work, and he didn't seem to mind it. He seems to like the cold. He liked bundling up, and he liked being up there in the cold. Man, I thought that was crazy. I tried anything to get out of that work. But anyway, well, enough of that, guys. Give me some feedback. You know, I'm on Facebook, Wade for Wireless. You can email me, wadeforwireless@gmail.com. That's the best way to get me. I have all my links on here. You can comment in the blog. Just let me know what's going on. Let me know what your pain points are. I really want to help you guys. I know looking for a job is a big pain point. So that's why I did this. I'm trying to help you guys out. And I'm trying to do this podcast because I think a lot of you guys drive. You know, they're not real long. That one with the interview with Bruce for the RF radiation was long. But I'm just trying to get, I'm also trying to follow up to that too. So I've been really busy lately. I'm trying to reach the guy at the FCC and the other guy too. His name was Richard and Ed. I'm reaching out to those guys. One was a consultant, and Ed was with the FCC, and Richard was a consultant. So I'm going to follow up on that. So I got some good stuff coming. And I know my blogs or my podcasts don't sound the best. My blogcasts is what I like to call them. I'm working on that too. It's taking time. You know, I'm not getting paid for any of this yet, except what I make through the book sales. So I'm trying to ramp up with the money on that. But don't worry, I'll get better, guys. Just be patient, okay? It'll get better. But I was hoping with the podcast, because most of you guys drive, you can get the same information while you're driving. That way, with the blog, you can go in and just click on the links you want to click on. And the other thing is, I want to talk to a lot of you guys about the pain in the field or what you're going through, or tell some stories. I mean, I love hearing old climbing stories, things that you've done, things that you should have done, and I'll get into a few of my own when I put them together. But right now, I just want to get the word out that I have this, and I also want to help you guys out the best I can. I think this is the only thing I can do, so if you can, I'm on iTunes. I'm going to be on Stitcher soon. I just didn't finish everything yet. But I was thinking with you guys driving, most of you guys drive so far, you know, to get to a place, or maybe you drive an hour or two a day. That's the way it is. I remember. I mean, I used to drive hours. I used to get a hotel, and I used to drive from city to city many times to get the work done. It's exhausting. But this way, you don't feel like you have to get in the computer or on your smartphone or anything like that to read it. You can just listen, all right? I'm trying to help. I'm trying to make your life easier. But you got to help me out here. You got to tell me what you want to hear. You got to tell me what you want to read about. And I'll do the best I can to get the information out to you. So, hey, to follow up, don't know if you guys read, I did put that blog out about that guy that fell. He only fell about 20 foot. I didn't get the details yet. I'm trying to get more information. A lot of questions. I know what your questions are, or at least what I've seen so far. Why'd the fire company have to come? I don't know. If anyone out there knows this guy, let me know. Now, I was glad he was safe. The cable grab obviously failed for about 20 or 25 feet. Not sure what happened. Maybe something got stuck. You know, when you put your beaner on there with the cable grab onto your chest, maybe he fell into it when he let go. And it was stuck in the up position. And anyone who's climbed and knows how a cable grab works, you know what I'm talking about. The cable grabs only work when you pull back and down. That's when they grab. If you fall into the cable or the cable's loose and you fall on top of the cable, you can slide down it. Because just if you, well, you know, if you're not a climber, you don't know what I'm talking about. But on a cable grab, if it's the one I'm thinking of, when you put it on there, and you have it, you know, it's close to your chest on your harness. That's where it is, onto the cable. When you go up, it pulls up. That's why it moves so smoothly. But when you go down and you climb down, you have the cable grab on. You have to lean into the cable a little bit so that lever stays up. The cable grab stays below you. So I don't know what happened, but I'm guessing. I don't know. But maybe this guy, when he fell into the cable and slid down the cable for 20 or 30 feet till he hit something, knocked him back, and that's when it grabbed. Because I read he was unconscious up there for a little bit, and then it took a while. I can only picture this, but this is speculation from what I've read. I guess it took a while for the fire company to get there, and he came to, you know, I don't know how long he was knocked out. He came to, and somehow he still worked his way down to the platform, which, you know, I'm assuming it was about 80 foot, 100 foot up, and then obviously the ladder wouldn't reach that high, so they went up to work on him and make sure he was okay. And I don't know how old this guy is, but, you know, they said he hurt his shoulder and so on. But I have those links in my blog yesterday. By the way, today is it's June 11th when I'm recording this. I probably won't get it out till the 12th, but June 9th is when I published a blog about the guy that fell, and he's okay. So the guy's okay. He went home. That's a goal. He went home, a little hurt, a little bruised, probably a little embarrassed, but he's alive. That's what we got to concentrate on, because I know you guys bash everybody out there, but he's alive, and I'm glad we have near misses. I mean, there's several, like that guy that hung off the platform for a while. He fell off. And he got home okay, and the fire company helped him. And that guy, there was a guy that commented in my blog, I don't have it open about that, and he says, hey, he's home safe, he's okay, and he's right. We should focus on the good. The good is they get to see their family again. That's the good. That's what we have to be happy about. Maybe something stupid happened. Maybe they shouldn't have been up there. Don't know why their fellow workers don't rescue them. Maybe there's something we don't know. But all the same, I'm just glad everyone's happy. Maybe climbing won't be for them in the future. Maybe they'll get back on the tower. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. I'm hoping to get more updates. I got to figure out how to reach these people. All right, guys. That's all I have for now. I appreciate you bearing with me. I'm trying to get these podcasts going, so let me know what you think, all right? Again, the Facebook page is a good way to get me. If you could rate me on iTunes and write a message in there, I'd really appreciate it. Anything you can do. I'm begging here. Just do something. Take action, for God's sake. You climb towers. You tell people what you think. I know you do. I've been with enough climbers. I know they have trouble keeping their feelings to themselves, let's say. All right? That's putting it nicely. All right, everyone. Be smart. Be safe. Don't be stupid. And be safe. That's the important thing. Because the goal is to go home every night to see your, or go home at least at the end of the week when you're done working. To go home when you're done working to see your family. All right? Take care, guys. Bye.